Your girlfriend will hate Bird Dog's khaki shorts. She'll say the llamas on their website look like a preschooler's birthday party invite, not an apparel company. She'll say the sexual innuendos in their newsletters are meant for 7th graders, not grown men like you. She might even tell you that naming one of the products, quote, Fistover Columbus, is borderline offensive. But as soon as you feel their soft inner liner and see how great their stretch material makes you look, you'll never want to take them off. Go to birddogs.com/radio to find out for yourself. They'll even throw in a free tumbler. That's birddogs.com/radio.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Helping you get to the back end of the work week. Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
This is our middle show, and so we want to give you a little bit of something to shove you over the hump.
My hump, my hump, my hump, my hump. My humps, they got you.
I'm not sure I could do it without blushing. What does the song mean? My humps, they got you.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside my trunk? My hump, my lovely lady hump.
Yes, it's Hump Show.
She's got me spinning.
Getting you to the good half of your week. My it's the Hump Show on After Hours.
My humps, they got you.
That's not me, by the way. Just want you to know. This is dead center of our work week. Manny has been with us for these first three shows of the week, and he's got two more hours before he's on his own again, back to his normal. I'm using my air quotations because in our business, I'm not really sure what normal is, but his normal, typical, familiar routine. And I'm just going to assume, you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, but I'm going to assume that Manny will miss us here on After Hours. And even if I'm wrong, can you just nod and smile? Give me a wink. I can't wink. Little known fact about Amy Lawrence, I can't wink.
For those who, well, obviously we're not streaming, but I am, like you said,
we're streaming,
smiling and nodding.
On CBSSportsRadio.com. We're not streaming video.
There we go. That's the word.
No, I refuse to do that. If I wanted to be on TV, I'd be on TV. I do not want to be on TV. I'm on radio. Yeah. No, there's a lot of reasons why I picked radio. There's a whole story behind why I got into this business, but I've never wanted to do TV because in our business, too often women are only judged and measured by what they look like and not what they know when they're in front of a camera. Also, the camera freaks me out. I'm every single time Jay and I discuss doing a video for our YouTube channel, I get very stressed out. I worry about dumb stuff. I do not like being on camera. I do it for basketball play-by-play. And I've certainly done some spot TV appearances, but it's not my comfort zone. This is my baby. This is my niche.
Amy Lawrence, colon, camera shy.
Yes, absolutely. I do love to take photos, but I stink at selfies. Although every now and then I'll post a photo of me. So it's not as though I don't do it. I do it because you all care about me as a person, and I appreciate that. And the photos that I post and the personal nuggets that I put online, my blog posts, they get far more reaction than anything I say about sports. I'm going to take that as a compliment that you care about me specifically. So because you do, it is that time of the week where you get to ask Amy anything. We're now just over 30 minutes away. Manny he's going overboard. You've got to make this tough on him because he has filled up an entire 8.5 by 11 sheet. I hope you can read that because it's really teeny writing on his piece of paper.
Handwritten, too.
Handwritten, completely covered with how many questions did you leave room? Because sometimes people are procrastinators and they wait until the last second.
Did not want to. I mean, when you mentioned Ask Amy in the newsroom, I did realize, oh, shoot, I kind of need to get that together. So
you do.
Boom.
Boom.
There you go.
Except you didn't answer my question. Did you leave room just in case we've got some stragglers who send their questions at the last second? Because we will get that.
Got a second page right here.
Oh my gosh. He's got a second page. Do I need to get out of the segment at the bottom of the hour early so that you have extra time to ask questions? What if I run out of steam?
Are you up for the extra questions?
Please. Oh. I'm just a little nervous about what types of questions. Could you give me a hint? Can you give me some kind of a tease so I know what types of questions we're talking about?
Like you said, no Bob.
Yeah, no Bob questions. I tell plenty of Bob stories.
We do have questions about food.
All right, so you're going to be like Jay then.
Big food guy.
Big food guy.
And also, you know, some of your personal latest trips.
All right.
And some current events as well.
Current events. I like it. Okay. That sounds like we're going to get off the beaten path. So, yes, if you would like to somehow wow Manny and grab his attention on this edition of The Hump Show.
Got
to
hurry up.
Creative questions. That's right. You got to hurry up because he's running out of room on his loose leaf paper. Oh, man. Busy. And I am saying that and feeling like it doesn't even do baseball justice. Busy night on the baseball paths on Tuesday. We'll get back to it. 12 teams score at least 10 runs. And for the Braves, this was not a banner night. They blew multiple three-run leads to the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks gave up 13 runs and still won. Shohei Ohtani and the Angels are now back to .500. Though he did not homer on Tuesday night, so that ends his streak. But the Yankees, they may be in dire straits now. There's more and more people calling for Aaron Boone's job. The fact that they are now 1-4 since the All-Star break. They've lost 5 of their last 6. And the Angels are actually beating up on them to pull themselves back to relevant in the wild card race, which of course means baseball's trade deadline is now less certain, I would say, for the Angels and for other teams that think, hey, why not us? We can do this. Why not us? I don't believe the Angels will trade Shohei Ohtani unless they completely fall off the map. And with a couple of wins in a row, and Ohtani smoked a triple last night, because of that, and because they're still hanging around in the wild card race, I don't know that we're going to see him move. Here's the latest in the wild card in the American League. Baltimore, still a game back of the Rays in the American League East. It's unfortunate for the Orioles that after they won 8 in a row, they've dropped 2 straight because the Rays can't buy a win off the Rangers now. And if the Orioles had kept that win streak going, they would be in first place in the American League East, though there is still plenty of time. Orioles and Blue Jays right now are the top 2 AL wild cards. The Astros are the 3rd wild card. Then the Red Sox and the Yankees. So there's the rest of the AL East. A game and a half, 2.5 out. But the Angels and the Mariners, who are sitting at .500, are only 4.5 out. It's not insurmountable. And they do not have Mike Trout, although Mickey Moniak is playing extremely well right now.
They didn't pitch to Shohei Ohtani, or they decided to pitch to Shohei Ohtani because Mickey Moniak was behind them. Mm-hmm. And then Mickey Moniak, you know, slams a 2-run home run in the first inning tonight.
All right, so if you think about the 3 of them in a row, Ohtani, Trout, Moniak, I mean, they all got to be pulling their weight through the rest of the season if they're going to actually be part of this wild card equation. But it's not beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, if a man and his dog can survive on a catamaran in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, 1,200 miles offshore for 3 months before they get rescued by a Mexican tuna boat, anything is possible. That's my new answer. When someone says to me, no, that's impossible. Hey, a man and his dog survived for 3 months on a floating catamaran 1,200 miles offshore in the Pacific Ocean before they got found and rescued by a Mexican tuna boat. If that's possible, anything's possible. It's crazy, too, because They're in relatively good health. They were checked out. They're in relatively good health. Normal vital signs. Bella, stable and very well. Oh, my goodness.
Did you see Bella? The picture of Bella? She was kind of like on her back looking for belly scratches.
Not just, well, probably because she's missed human contact as well. The picture I saw was her head in a bucket, sucking up as much water as she possibly could. Oh, my goodness. The Aloha Toa, 1,200 miles from land when they were rescued. Do you remember going back a couple weeks now? Before we realized that the submersible had imploded and that there was not a rescue operation to be undertaken. Instead, it was about trying to exactly figure out what happened and where. But remember, there was a search operation going on for the longest time. And a lot of the conversation revolved around the fact that you're talking, you know, thousands and thousands of feet down to the ocean floor. But not just that. The ocean is enormous, and trying to find this little bitty submersible that was, what, 21 feet long or something like that? 21 feet long on the floor of an ocean is nearly impossible, even with all this high-tech equipment. Now, think about this catamaran that's in the middle of the gigantic Pacific Ocean.
Biggest ocean in the world, according to sources.
And they do, sources. They don't have, they're not out looking for them with sonar or planes or drones, because they don't know where he is. They don't have any idea he's still alive and out there. No one's actually looking for him. I'm sorry, I'm yelling. No one's actually looking for him in his catamaran because they had no idea. They would no way to believe or no reason to believe they were still alive. They just lost communication. There was a storm. There was no more communication.
Ocean's a scary The ocean's a scary place.
It is. The crew of the tuna vessel, Mexican tuna vessel, found the pair in a, quote, precarious state.
Oh, you don't say.
Lacking food and shelter. So the catamaran apparently did not have a cabin. It wasn't that big. So again, think about it. You're talking about a very small boat. A small boat. 3 months in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. There, could you imagine the wildlife he saw? Potentially. Could have seen dolphins, whales, sharks, all kinds of stuff.
Yet people want to play in that giant death trap.
It's not a death trap.
The ocean's scary, Amy.
No, the ocean is actually teeming with life. It's not a death trap. It's just not a great place for humans to be out in the middle of. But it doesn't mean there isn't plenty of life out there. Other kinds of life, Manny. We're not the only ones on the planet. Other kinds of life.
Marine life. Marine life at like SeaWorld or whatever.
Oh, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Or an aquarium.
Oh my good, fine. Don't go out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, but there's plenty of life out there. They get to live too. They're on the planet too.
I go waist deep into the, I went to Cancun about 2 years ago, went waist deep. That was good enough for me.
That was it?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good,
wow.
Chief.
All right. Yeah, this would be your worst nightmare, wouldn't it? Too bad you weren't working with us a few weeks ago when that video of the man and his, it looked like wife, on a surfboard. They're paddling on a surfboard, and they nearly get upended by whales. You have to go back on my Twitter and see it, because I thought it was amazing and would have been all about it. I thought the video was real, would have been all about it, but people were petrified just watching the video.
I'm not trying to be whale chum.
Okay, whales don't attack people, usually. It wasn't a killer
usually,
whale.
There's the key
No,
word.
It wasn't a killer whale. It wasn't an orca. It was just a giant blue whale, and it was giant, all right. Anyway, check it out on my Twitter. All right, speaking of Twitter, send your last-minute questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's A-Law Radio. Our Facebook page, too. Manny is on the lookout for any stragglers. We were talking about Ohtani. We will be talking about Ohtani at the trade deadline, but you know, there are a couple of other guys out there not in baseball who are also waiting on trades. I keep hearing from the NBA world that Dame Lillard has to play the long game, that he's got to be willing to play the long game because the Blazers are not in a hurry. It reminds me of the whole situation with Deshaun Watson and the Texans. They were willing to eat a year of his salary until they got what they wanted in exchange for their franchise quarterback at the time. And then also Aaron Rodgers, speaking of franchise QBs, The Green Bay Packers waited it out. They did not pull the trigger until they felt like they got what they wanted from the New York Jets, until the Packers and Jets were able to come to some kind of an agreement. Well, it's obviously not basketball season. And for the Blazers, we heard from their GM, Joe Cronin, they're willing to wait months if that's what has to happen. What about Philadelphia? Daryl Morey used to be the general manager in Houston. That's how he and James Harden first developed their working relationship. And reportedly, because Morey was in Philadelphia, it was a major draw for Harden when he wanted out of Brooklyn. Well, now he wants out of Philadelphia. Daryl Morey does confirm this on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia sports radio station. But how long is he prepared to wait, and what is he looking for if he trades James?
James is a very good player, and right now, unfortunately, he does prefer to be somewhere else. I do have a long relationship with him.
Yeah.
I'm attempting to honor that. But the reality is, if we do look at a trade, it's going to be for one of two things. It's either going to be for a player who continues to help us be right there like we were last year, up 3-2 on you know, one of the best teams in the East, the Celtics. Obviously, we didn't get it done, but James was a big part of why we got it to 3-2. Or we're going to do it for something where we get enough, you know, draft picks and things like that in a deal, such that we can then turn those into a player who is as it can be a running mate with Joel as well. But if we don't get, you know, either a very good player or something that we can turn into a very good player, then we're just not going to do it. And if James were to turn his mind around, we would all be thrilled. You heard Joel's comments about that. But at this moment, he does prefer to be traded, and we're attempting to honor that.
Daryl Morey doesn't sound like he's in a rush. On 97.5, The Fanatic in Philadelphia with Anthony Gargano. And I'm sorry if I'm saying his name wrong, but he's the host that you hear in the background, the host that did the interview with Daryl. Daryl says, we either need to get a player to partner with Joel Embiid, who helps us win a championship, or we need to find a player that we can turn into trade bait for another player who will help us win a championship. But why, though? Isn't that what James Harden is in Philadelphia for? Why does James want out?
He was wishing for a different situation contractually. And I think that's been the main desire for looking for a new situation. And, you know, at this point, look, if we can do something that is win-win and helps the Sixers, then we will look at it. And if we can't, then we won't.
And that's the same thing that Joe Cronin said. They want to honor Damian Lillard's request to be traded to a contender. Although, of course, in the minds of Cronin and Morey, they are contenders. Morey does say that Harden's contract is the reason why he wants out. Now, remember, he opted into this 2023-24 year on his contract. So he has one more season before he would be a free agent. He opted in to give the Sixers flexibility, and that's in theory, $35.6 million, but he wants a new deal, right? He wants extra years, more guaranteed money. And so Morey says, hey, yeah, we'll trade him. We'll try to honor that request. But we need to make sure that Joel Embiid has a running mate. It was supposed to be Harden. It's not anymore. Speaking of Embiid, did you all hear the audio that went viral? He was speaking at an event. I'll have to go back and figure out which event, but made some waves because he is willing to do anything, go anywhere to win a title.
I just want to win a championship.
beyond whatever it takes. I don't know what that's going to be, whether it's in Philly or, you know, anywhere else. You know, I just want to have a chance to accomplish that. I want to see what it feels like to win that first one and then you can think about, you know, the next one. You know, it's not easy. But, you know, it takes more than, you know, one, you know, two, three guys. You know, got to have, you know, good people around you and, you know, and myself. You know, every single day I work hard to, you know, be at that level so I can produce and make it happen.
I just want to win a championship, whether that's in Philly or anywhere else. The Uninterrupted Film Festival in L.A. with Maverick Carter.
I'm an idiot.
So, of course, it hit Twitter. It went viral. I just want to win a championship. I don't know where that's going to be, whether that's in Philly or anywhere else. But he's not free, as in free agent. He's just about to start his Supermax extension in Philadelphia in 23-24. So the Sixers have his rights firmly in hand. And they're looking for a running mate.
You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone.
That was right after they lost to the Celtics, wasn't it? In the second round.
Yep.
That one also went viral.
I'm an idiot.
I was pretty stunned by that. And he says, of course, it was taken out of context. It's always the media's fault. Damn media. All right, let's see. Coming up, the Open Championship begins in a couple of days. And the winner, the reigning champion, so the winner last year, the reigning champion, bolted to the LIV Tour right after he won. Remember Cam Smith, the Australian? Loves Greg Norman. Greg Norman's been his hero, his idol. So he took Greg Norman up on his invitation to join LIV. Well, how has the last year changed him? And Brooks Koepka, who just, I can't help it, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Feels incredible. You know, it's been a sort of long 6 months, I feel, since I won in Dubai. I've given myself tons of chances, you know, and hopefully this win sort of breaks the seal for me, especially going into next week as well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Rory McIlroy. Same guy who told us that he would rather walk away from golf and retire, essentially, than play on the LIV Tour. He better hopes that never comes to fruition. Rory finished with a pair of birdies on the Sunday final round of the Scottish Open. And with that, was able to capture his first title on Scottish soil, so the Northern Irishman, now the number two ranked player in the world. And the last time that he played at Royal Liverpool, the site of this year's Open Championship, he won. In fact, that was 2014 when he followed up the Open win with a victory at the PGA Championship. But it's been how long since he's won a major? Yeah, that's how long. Not since the Open and the PGA in 2014 has Rory McIlroy won a major title.
That's 9 years?
9 years.
Damn.
He's gotten married. He's become a dad. And he has 19 other wins. He's got tour championships to his credit. I would say that he turned into the face of the PGA Tour over the battle with Liv last year, even if for no other reason than Tiger Woods is not a regular anymore and right now not playing at all. But in this whole PGA versus Liv, he became the self-proclaimed defender of the PGA. So he's done everything except for win another major. But he is the favorite overwhelmingly as they return to Royal Liverpool this week. Oh, no, I have to sneeze. Sorry, Rory. Uh-oh. Huh. Something tickly.
Fight it. Fight it.
I'm trying. Don't look at the light. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Or do you look at the light to stifle a sneeze?
I heard that you look at the light.
To sneeze. Or to stifle a sneeze.
To stifle it, yeah.
To stifle a sneeze. It's itchy.
That was a great noise, Amy.
What's itchy? Okay. Coming up in not even 15 minutes, your questions. Actually, Manny's questions posed to me for Ask Amy Anything. He's only narrowed it down to about 30, so we're going to have to rush, which means I'm getting out a little bit earlier. But I did promise you Cam Smith. He won the Open last summer and then promptly bolted to the LIV Tour. So how has the last year changed him?
I think the person's the same. I think my old boy would give me a clip around the ears if he was any different. I think as a golfer, I actually think I'm a better golfer now than what I was last year. I think the stuff that I had to clean up is progressing. It's still a little bit of a work in progress.
I hope so. If you already think that you've reached the pinnacle, then what's the point of moving forward? So he had that win last year in the Open. And just for perspective, Rory McIlroy was two strokes behind him. So this could be fun. Cam Smith says he jumped to the LIV Tour in part because they played fewer tournaments. They didn't have to give up so many weekends. A lot of the guys would tell you they felt like it was better for their physical bodies to not play as many tournaments, but also more family time. I mean, Dustin Johnson married a couple of kids, I think. But a lot of these guys said, hey, you know, it's a different schedule. We don't have to be on the road every single weekend from January to November. And so has playing less been a benefit for Cam?
I mean, on paper, it definitely says that we've been playing less, but it feels like we haven't had a week off here in a few months. So, you know, I think once you get into that competitive mojo, it's good for the golf game. I've always been a person, I think, where I can make changes on the run, and I think that's helped me throughout this, this last 3 or 4 months. And yeah, like I said, it just feels really close. It's just that driver just needs to behave itself, really.
Cam Smith, player to watch, but McIlroy, the heavy betting favorite. If you are one of those people that likes to bet on golf, he's been the player to beat for quite a while now, even though he's not the number one player in the world. But the fact that it's the Open Championship and he won on this course. Now, the course has gone through a lot of renovations. It's not the same course. But this is a championship that means so much to a lot of golfers who hail from the British Isles. And because he's got success there and because of how he played in Scotland last week, you can understand why there's a lot of money being put down on him. Of course, we can't quite get away from the questions or the tension over LIV Golf. And this wasn't even a question posed to Rory. This was a question about Rory for Brooks Koepka.
Do you think that some of the feelings have gone so deep that they'll never quite be healed between some of the players? Or do you think maybe some of the players, with reference to Rory, maybe need to kind of forget about it and move on?
That's probably a question for them. Probably you should ask Rory that. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for him. I know me and Rory have had quite a few good talks over the last, I don't know, year, maybe a couple months. But, yeah, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, how they feel about it. To me, I don't have enough information on it to even know how to feel, what to think. But that'll probably be coming in the next few months, I'd say.
Still get that same refrain from a lot of the golfers, regardless of what side they're on, PGA or LIV. Don't know much about it. Don't have a lot of information. Still waiting. I guess I'll have another information coming up. Another round of information, potentially a different opinion if I just knew something about it. But at this point, we're still waiting. Something, anything. Even Congress doing the same thing, asking a lot of questions. All right, coming up, it's Manny's first chance to ask Amy anything. Your questions. I don't even know how he's going to get through half of what he's got handwritten on his piece of paper. But this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's our hump show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Are you ready? I don't mean you, I mean Manny. You all are ready. I know you're ready, but Manny, are you ready? I don't even want to say anything else because I want to see what is on your list. It's Ask Amy Anything. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Hump Show. First time for Manny Rodriguez filling in for producer Jay. Let's go. Rack it up.
All righty, Amy. Here's a current event question. Currently, the Powerball jackpot is at 1 billion plus.
You call this a current events question. I love it.
Amy, what would you do if you won the $1 billion Powerball jackpot?
Oh, gosh, what a question. Yes, I would keep working. I know you think that's crazy, but I would keep working. Now, would I keep working overnights on CBS Sports Radio? For a time, anyway. But I wouldn't need to do it for the rest of my life. I'd feel much freer getting off of the overnights, which I would like to do at some point in the near future. Anyway, I would keep working. I'd pay off all the bills. I'd buy a vacation house somewhere. I'd give my mom anything she wanted. I mean, I would do all those types of things. Whenever I get married, it would be a wedding where I didn't have to worry about cost and a honeymoon where I didn't have to worry about cost. So all those things. But honestly, I would give a lot of it away. Family, friends, some different charitable projects and organizations that matter to me. I've got family in Cuba that I would love to help. But also, I would save a lot of it too, because it wouldn't just be wealth for me and my immediate family. That's generational wealth that can change my kids' lives, my grandchildren's lives, their kids' lives. So I think wisely, a lot of it would have to be invested / saved for a rainy day, if you will, a rainy day for other generations. And I know that sounds boring as heck. I would buy a horse. That would be my one like crazy thing. I would buy a horse and a place to put him or her, because I've always wanted to own a horse. But otherwise, I wouldn't go all hog wild.
That was courtesy of Amy Hauser on Twitter, and my follow-up via Diana Wright Crosby on Facebook: would you keep working if you won it? And you said yes.
I did say yes.
You mentioned a vacation house. Where would that be?
That's a good question. On the coast somewhere, Atlantic coast somewhere, probably South Carolina. I fell in love with the low country of South Carolina, so maybe a Fripp Island or a St. Helena Island, something in that area for people who are familiar.
Now, I know you mentioned no sports, but I do have to ask. Thank you, Brandon Acosta on Facebook. What was the lowest round of golf?
In my whole life?
Correct.
Oh, gosh. Somewhere in the upper 80s, low 90s.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm not real consistent, though. That's the problem. It's like I could be a lot better if I played more often, but I don't. Maybe I'd play more golf if I won the Powerball or the lottery or whatever it is.
Which golf, if you did win the jackpot, which golf course would you try to get into?
Oh, ooh, good question. That's a really good question. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Something in New Jersey right now. I'd also have to buy Bob golf lessons because he would need to be playing with me. I suppose we could afford golf lessons.
Yeah, $1 billion, I think.
Well, all of a sudden, do you think Bob would want to get married if I won the lottery? Do you think he'd propose right away?
She'd take my money.
I'd be a sugar mama.
Amy, what was tougher, the Grand Canyon or Lady Liberty?
Oh, the Grand Canyon for a lot of reasons. It was hot, though it wasn't humid like it was for Lady Liberty. But we hiked up about 4,000 feet. I mean, it's a mountain in some cases. So, yeah, definitely having to have enough water, having to have the layers of clothing for all the different temperature changes. I had to have spikes in my bag because we hiked over snow and ice for a good portion of the first mile, both up and down. You're navigating some pretty tight spaces and cliffs. So yeah, the Statue of Liberty was tough because of the humidity.
Right.
But we were only up there for maybe 10 minutes before we turned around and came back down. And I was already sweaty as heck anyway, so what was the difference? And it was only 354 steps. The Grand Canyon was a 6-hour trek, so that was much more challenging. I loved it.
Paul Campagna or Campagna, sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, Paulie, via Facebook.
Paulie.
Follow up, what was the scariest part about being in Lady Liberty?
There's nothing scary about it.
Sorry, James E. Malkowski on Facebook. Nothing was scary.
No, nothing scary. I mean, we couldn't even stick our phones out the windows because they don't want people to drop them and
kill someone.
It becomes a weapon if it hits someone on the ground. But nothing scary. I did bump my head twice, and it was almost comical, too, because the park ranger, as I take the final steps, because they only allow a few people up in the actual crown at a time, so you have to wait. There's a bit of a log jam. So when he allows me to finally step up into it, he says, "Watch your head." It was like 3 seconds later, bang. Doink. Yeah, of course, because I was watching my head, but not enough.
Brian K. Schwegel on Facebook asks a very salient question.
Salient. What a good word.
What is your ultimate ice cream sundae? Yeah.
Oh, man. So good. All right. Let's see. Chocolate chip ice cream. One scoop of chocolate chip. One scoop of maybe a s'mores or a mocha chip. Something like that. I do like to mix. I'm quirky like that. Love, love, love to have either chocolate chips or gummy bears or in some cases... give me some Heath Bar Crunch. Mm. Delicious, all crumbled up Heath Bar Crunch. And I am all about having as much whipped cream on the top as there is ice cream in the bowl. I don't eat a lot of whipped cream, but it's so good when I have it. And then definitely cherry on top. A couple cherries on top, maybe.
Thanks, Brian. This question comes from Sexy Rhino on Twitter.
Ew. I mean, okay.
If you can live in any time period, when and where would that be?
Oh, gosh. I think about this sometime. A couple come to mind. Number one, I would like to be part of the Roaring Twenties just to see what it was like. And maybe be part of the United States when the women got the vote. So there's two kind of time periods in history or times of history that I would like to be involved in. But then in addition to that, I think about the time during the war when the United States, World War I, finally joined the war and what a nationwide effort it was to support. And I know we lost a lot of people, but to support our people who were overseas. And remember, they didn't have the same communication that we have now, but the efforts that were going on at home as well. So I think I would have liked to see what the U.S. was like during our participation in the world wars, because it took all of us in the U.S. and a time of patriotism and coming together. We don't get that much very often anymore.
Dan Lowry on Twitter asks, when did you know you wanted to be in radio and who or what inspired you?
Age 16. I've known since I was 16 years old that I wanted to do sports radio for a living. And my inspiration, believe it or not, the Boston Celtics and their radio team. Going back to the days of Johnny Most and Glenn Ordway, I've told this story before, but we did not have cable TV. We lived out in the boonies in Concord, New Hampshire. And so I could only follow the Celtics late 80s, early 90s by listening on the radio. And I fell in love with the idea that you could describe the action, describe what was happening in such a way that people did not feel like they were missing anything just because they couldn't see it with their own eyes. I was already applying to the Naval Academy. I was going to go to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. I got pretty far down the road in that application, but then realized what I wanted to do was sports radio. And so it changed everything at 16 years old.
Michael Anthony Key Jr. on Facebook asks, what's Penny's go-to snack?
Ha! Penny loves peanut butter. I don't give her a lot of peanut butter, but every now and then I'll give her a corner of a crust of bread, some toast with peanut butter on it. She loves, loves peanut butter.
All righty. Ready for some rapid fire?
Yes.
All righty.
Well, already at 50?
All right, well, I got one from Matt Molnar over here on Facebook.
Okay. I'm just saying, we got a long way to go.
All right. Well, all I mean, I did have like a 20 of...
Well, we still got another 4 minutes.
Let's keep rolling okay, then. Matt Molnar
Manny,
on Facebook.
Are you checking out on me?
No, not yet. Of course not. I still got half a page for you.
Okay, let's go.
Matt Molnar wants to know... Now, I think he made a mistake in sending this message because it says... Ranch or blue cheese while eating your pizza?
My pizza. He meant wings, you think?
I think he meant wings.
Well, either way, the answer is the same. I do not like ranch dressing.
Oh.
I love blue cheese dressing. For wings, for pizza, I'll even dip pizza crust in it after the fact, so leftover pizza. I love blue cheese dressing. I've made different dips, recipes with it before. I do not like ranch. I'm the only person on the planet that doesn't like mint and doesn't like ranch.
Steven Ivanko on Facebook wants to know, Twinkies, Ho-Hos, or Nutty Buddy?
When I did eat this type of food, I adored Twinkies, which is really funny because I guess it was late last year, I had a dog sitter who loves junk food, and under the bed where she was sleeping in my house, I found a stray Twinkie. I did not eat it. I finally threw it away. I wanted to eat it, but I finally threw it away.
Yay or nay, noodles and chili?
No. Beans and chili, yes. Meat and chili, yes. Noodles, no. That's not my version.
That's Chris White on Twitter who wanted to know. All righty. Got a couple of these rapid fire now with 2 minutes left. I got a bunch of them, so okay. I think this will take up the next 2 minutes.
Right. This Alrighty. Is your show, Manny. Go ahead.
Flan or tres leches?
Oh, tres leches.
Oh, good answer.
So good, so good.
Tacos or burritos?
Soft tacos. Soft tacos. And go. I don't believe that tacos should be limited to Tuesday. I say Taco Thursday, Taco Saturday. In fact, maybe I'll do Taco Wednesday because you mentioned it.
I love tacos.
Tacos cada día.
Tacos cada día. Wine or beer?
Oh, well, I do not like beer. I don't even like the smell of beer. I warned Bob, I don't kiss boys who've had beer. So, sorry, just personal. I like fruity wine. My mom and I will do a Riesling every now and then. But as you can imagine, working nighttime, there's not a whole lot of opportunity to be drinking wine. But my college roommate and I did try. So it was a gift from a friend in Syracuse. Gave me a bottle of blackberry wine, homemade from his vineyard. Oh, so good. I did enjoy a glass of blackberry wine last weekend.
A comedy or a horror?
Oh, well, if the comedy is Money Pit with Tom Hanks, or it's the series Friends, or even the new series Ghosts, I like that one. I would say comedy. Bob loves horror movies. I can't do horror, so he wants me to watch horror movies with him, or like suspense thrillers. I told him I'll sit next to him and watch him on the he can watch him on the couch, and I'll do something else.
No baking for a summer or no air conditioning for a summer?
Oh, gosh, no. I'll get skinnier and have no baking for a summer. I can't, Penny and I can't do no AC. Good question.
Arctic or tropical?
I'll take Arctic. I love the cold. I love snow. Snow is, it makes me so happy. It's my happy place.
Beachside resort or hillside cottage?
Beachside resort.
Paperback or hardcover?
Hardcover.
Pancakes or waffles?
Oh, pancakes all the time with pure New Hampshire maple syrup. I don't know why, but I don't like waffles. They don't taste good to me.
History or sci-fi?
History. Oh, but except for... Can we call Star Wars history?
No.
It's like 30 years old now. It is kind of historical about the future. It's history about the future. Fine, Manny. I love history. I'm a history buff, but maybe Star Wars isn't sci-fi anymore. Maybe it's a cultural phenomena. It is that. That was fun. Did you have fun?
Oodles.
Oodles of fun? Oodles, but no noodles? Got you.
Not in the chili.
I will go back and answer a lot of your questions that Manny didn't get to that I didn't get to on Twitter and Facebook, so check that out over the course of your hump day. Thank you, Manny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.